General Failure podcast is now being calibrated for your listening pleasure.
Welcome to episode 149 of the General Failure podcast for the week of October 16th, 2018, brought to you by Warby Parker. This week, we've got a super party revival, We Work 100 Hours, and Amazon builds a sexist AI. I'm Dom, and I got with me TJ.
What up?
And CJ.
What's that?
All right, so.
This is a Budweiser commercial in 2004.
Yeah. It is. Probably even earlier than that.
I think it was the 90s. Yeah. Was it around the 90s?
I think it was.
We're old.
I remember they parodied it in Scary Movie, which was in 2000, so it had to be out before
that's
that.
That's true.
Fuck, we're old.
You're going to be 31 in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Fuck you all.
Yep.
Anyway,
so,
get off my lawn.
Let's get started with a little bit of what are you playing. TJ, what are you playing?
So I've talked about this game before, XCOM 2.
You have, yeah.
Yeah, I've played it on the Xbox. I finally got it for PC. And
while
I also
watching X-Men.
Yes, that's what it was. While watching the old X-Men show.
Getting an X-ray. Maybe playing a xylophone.
An X-ilophone.
Did that one not work? Anyway.
And I also got the DLC because it was like a whole sale pack on stuff for the War of the Chosen. Found out that there's mods.
Nice.
Straight off of Steam's workshop.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
For the PC version, which I didn't even know after I even bought it. Then I saw the workshop emblem. I was like, yeah. So yeah, I downloaded at least 30 mods before I started the first game.
I downloaded at least two Xbox hard drives worth of mods.
More or less. And started playing it. It's a great strategy, kind of almost RPG style game.
This isn't turn-based, is it?
It is turn-based.
It is turn-based. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's like Fire Emblem, right? Where it's like the turn-based with the... You know, you have squares where you can move or attack.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's a lot like that.
Yeah.
Except it's with guns.
Right, obviously.
And aliens attacking.
I just mean more of the gameplay style.
Yeah, the gameplay
style is kind of unique.
Now I'm just thinking about like an 8-bit game where it's just squares, but the squares are holding like Uzis.
like photorealistic guns. We put all our processing power into the guns, guys. We got no more resources left.
The sound is just
pew pew, the blue square.
Dom said this episode wouldn't run long. I say challenge accepted.
It's pretty much about, you know, aliens came down, wreck shop in the first game, and then the second one is they've taken over everything and you're trying to take everything back. Mm-hmm. And the War of the Chosen DLC, it's three of the main like big boss type dudes come down and just start making the game even 10 times harder.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is with the game is it has a tracker for the aliens starting this Avatar project, quote unquote.
James Cameron already did that, though.
Touche. But he's got to figure out the other four movies about it. So as the game progresses, you know, this Avatar project, the tracker goes up and up. And mm-hmm. if you reach the end, you're fucked. The fucking thing destroys you and kills you all.
Is it difficult to get the spaceship that flies back and forth? You know, you realize you have to shoot in front of it, not like where it's going, not where it's been.
You're still stuck on these squares, huh?
I'm still thinking about like Galaga now and fucking Space Invaders.
But yeah, no. So you're trying to, you know, bring down the tracker because there's things you can bring to do to lower the tracker, but also advance through more of the game. So it's a really like a time management also.
Mm-hmm.
And then adding the War of the Chosen.
Well, that's what the T in RTS stands for, is time. God, you fucking idiot.
I stood for time to leave.
And then if you add the War of the Chosen, you have these three big bosses just fucking up shop uh-huh. while you're trying to do this, do all the Avatar project stuff at the same time. So it's just a nightmare to try to like manage everything at once.
Do
and
I need to
also
tape your hands down to your legs or something?
Never gonna happen.
You're hitting everything. The microphone, the table, yourself. You got an open beverage there. I'm getting worried.
Pew!
All right, so killing the big bosses.
Yeah, that soda gets knocked over. We're just plowing right through.
So you have to, you know, stop the Avatar project, kill these bosses, you know, complete all these objectives. There's other stuff that comes up
randomly. Go back in time, kill James Cameron.
Yeah, more or less. And
is that it's a threat?
It's just a lot of time management that I've somewhat circumvented through.
Is there any strategy? Does it feel real at all?
There is, except when you go into the console command and start cheating.
I'm hacking.
Avatar Project, yeah. My ass.
Get fucked.exe.
If you've ever played the really old XCOM game back in the 90s for the PC, it's like that on steroids,
yeah.
More or less.
There was like 10 years at least in between releases, if not more.
Probably 15.
15, yeah.
Because it was a huge gap. The first new XCOM game is awesome. Mm-hmm. The DLC for that game is awesome. This game is just another step forward onto that one. So it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying it. And then adding all the mods you can add, the DLC that they have, which is huge DLC. It's not garbage. So if you like the like RTS kind of RPG style stuff, I would definitely suggest
XCOM. It's StarCraft mixed with Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
There you go.
More or less. Like and then add a lot of RPG elements to it. Huh.
All right. So go pick up XCOM if you haven't. It's old, so it's probably cheap.
XCOM 2.
Yes, that's what I said.
Well, XCOM 2 is new.
I thought it came out like 5-6 years ago.
No, that was the first one.
Oh. You said XCOM 15 years
2
ago.
Like came out like last year.
Oh, cool. Anyway, so I have been playing and CJ has been playing apparently separately Super Mario Party.
It was before you showed up to the party.
Yeah, before I showed up to the party, to the Mario Party. And then I went upstairs and watched baseball. Yes. Anyway,
went upstairs with a Mario costume and started masturbating.
I did. Well, that was separately.
Went upstairs with the Bowsette costume and started masturbating.
Fucking Bowsette.
Is that even a costume? I mean, it's like a turtle shell and like a bikini.
That's anyway. All I need. So my initial impressions of Super Mario Party is that it's a lot of fun. And I'm super glad that they allowed you to go back to the Mario Party roots.
It's probably the best Mario Party that's come out since
7.
7. I was going to say 7. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they did some weird, wacky shit.
They just changed it. It stopped being like board games.
8, 9, and 10, they kept trying different things, and it just didn't work. So I think this has modes like that where you can play.
Yeah.
But there's like 3 or 4 different maps where you can just play like standard Mario Party, and it's like exactly.
And it's nice.
It's exactly what you want.
And there's small maps too, which is kind of, I like it. Like they're not huge.
Yeah, I'm not a fan exactly of the small maps, and I'll explain why in a second.
Okay.
Maybe I am a fan.
I've heard the turns take a lot longer than they used to.
You have a lot more to choose from.
Yeah.
Which is the thing is what I like is every character in the game comes with their own. You have a
your
standard
special dice.
Dice block, but then everyone gets a special dice block. So you can choose. You can do your 1 through 6, or who did you play as?
I played as Luigi.
Luigi, okay.
So I had
Yoshi.
No, I'm always Luigi.
Always, I feel like
if I can't play as Luigi, I leave. So Luigi's dice block is like, you have like a 1, a 1, a 1, a 4, a 6, and a 7. So you have a chance of rolling a 7, but you have a 50% chance of rolling a 1. And every character has something special, where Rosalina's is like bullshit. She has 2 sides are +2 coins, I think. And then the other sides are like 4, 5, 6, 7 or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
So now you're just going to pick the character that...
You're just going to pick Rosalina.
Well, here's
Instead
the thing.
Of picking the character that you just want to play as.
Not necessarily, though, because if you need to get 1 or 2 spaces, you're totally boned.
Yeah.
I mean, you can still use the regular dice.
You can. Yeah, I was going to say, you can always go back to the regular
and
dice.
And you still get the candy, too, right? For like dice and stuff like other dice and shit.
It's not candy in this. That was that 10 that did the candy? I think so. It's not candy, but you still do get special dice. There's one that's all 6s, or there's one where you choose what number is
on
there.
Yeah,
that's a cool dice.
That one I like.
Yeah, they have some new dice blocks, which are pretty cool.
Yeah, so I play as Waluigi. Waluigi's dice block includes a 7, a 5, a 3, a 1. And then -3 coins.
Oh.
And then, as you play through the game, you can get I forget what they called, buddies or like companions.
Yep. You can get buddies or, something like that.
Guess who my buddy was?
Wario.
Bowser.
Oh.
I got fucking Bowser, which includes a 10, but 2 -3 coins.
Don't you choose your buddy?
No.
Maybe you did.
It made me spin a wheel.
In the map that we played, you got to choose your buddy. So so that buddy will add on to your roll. And if you use your dice block, they'll use their dice block, and it could severely help you, and it could severely fuck you.
Yeah.
Feels like they took the original idea and then just gave it a little bit of a tweak instead of just taking the idea.
Exactly. What they should have done. They updated along. Exactly. Yeah. So, when I was playing, there's a golden warp pipe that you can get as an item, and that takes you right to the star.
Oh fuck!
So one thing that I have to say I don't like is the stars cost 10 coins.
They make it really easy.
It's easy to buy.
Because it used to be 20.
It used to be 20.
Right?
And then I think after a while, they might have upped them. After like 3 stars were given, it became 30 or something like that. It's 10 coins no matter what. So it's really easy to get stars. But that did help me one time because, one time it fucked me because I was like 2 spaces away from the star and somebody used the golden pipe and came right in front of me and got the star. And I was like, you son of a bitch. So later in the game, I was on another, the map that I played was like a bunch of different fruit. So you had to take
a bunch of fruit,
So you could take warp pipes between the different fruit. But you could just kind of go in a square around. I was on the pineapple. You could just go in a square around it if you wanted to forever and ever.
You took this conversation out of context. It would make no
which people probably will.
To regular
you can go different pipes. You can stay on the pineapple.
It
and
sounds
just go
like
around
a homeless person in the city, just rambling on.
So the as CJ said, the boards are kind of small, and it's even smaller when you are sectioned off into 4 different sections. Yeah. So I got a star. And then Toadette, you know, goes up and comes down with another star and did it like 4 spaces in front of me. So I got 2 stars in 1 turn and everyone was pissed.
Yes.
And that happened. That only happened once. But then there was like these little sparklers or something. So I stepped on the thing and it lit one of the sparkler. And the other one, obviously, you had to step on it again. So somebody cursed me with a thing that gave me a 0 on my block. Nice. And that's what I rolled. So I got that star again and it lit up the other thing and everyone's laughing at me like, haha, you didn't go anywhere. And that gave me a star. So then everyone was immediately pissed again.
Shit.
So like normally I'm used to leading the entire game and then getting fucked at the end completely. And that didn't happen this time.
See,
I was trailing for like half the game.
I'm the opposite. I do really bad and then the bonus stars kick in.
Yeah.
And then I'm golden.
Yeah.
All the bonus stars.
There was only 2 bonus stars for some reason. I feel like
that's
there's usually 3.
I think that you can configure them all now to turn on what you want.
And it might be based off the number of turns too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you remember how many turns you played?
10.
10.
We did a quick game.
I think 10, they said, was an hour.
Yeah, it's funny because you go
which
through
is like
it
crazy. To
I think 50 is 3 hours.
I feel like that's short for 50.
Yeah.
I feel like we spent a lot more than 3 hours doing 50
yeah,
and 7.
But
we also used to stop.
I know. We used to stop. I know.
So we'd start at 10 p.m., play to midnight, drive to Wendy's, come back, and then finish the other 25 turns.
Yep.
On a N64.
No, it was on GameCube.
That was GameCube.
Yeah, Mario Party 7.
Yeah, those were the good old
those
days.
Were the days. Yeah.
Those were the days.
Midnight Wendy's trips. I loved it.
Oh, boy.
Wendy's.
So, I really like it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad that it's back to what it once was. Mm. And the fact that, A, I believe you can play online. You can link up your Switches and do cool stuff with it. Like, there's just extra stuff that I haven't even.
There's, like, up to 6 players in one mode or something.
Probably, yeah.
Damn.
Like yeah. So, like, it's just, it's finally reinvigorating.
Yeah.
Mario Party, which desperately needed it because, like we said, it's been since 7 that it just hasn't been that good. And that was probably 14 years ago. I bet you that came out in 2004.
Yeah. Which is why I like they named it like Super Mario Party rather than
Mario Party 11.
11 or 12. No, 12. There was 11.
There was an 11?
Yeah.
When?
The Wii U. I have
no, that's 10.
I don't know, man.
I do know, man. If there was an 11 also on Wii U, I completely missed it.
It's probably at the end of the tail end.
Yeah, because 8 and 9, 1 through 3 were on N64, 4, 5, 6, and 7 were on GameCube, 8 and 9 were on Wii, and I think 10 was on Wii U, and that was it.
No, you're right. I stand corrected. Okay. This is technically 11.
Yeah, so Yeah, I'm glad that they named it Super Mario Party and kind of just...
And the minigames were good.
Yeah, the minigames were fun. I had no problems with the minigames. There were none that I did that I was like, this is stupid. They all seemed pretty fun. I haven't found one yet, because I only played 10 turns. So I hadn't found one yet that was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah.
But every game has at least one that's just so crazy fun.
I don't know if there's a masturbation game.
Damn.
Yeah, I knew
there is.
There's no can jerking off game.
It's not that much. You have to you do long strokes because you have to climb up a pole.
Yeah.
So that's the only masturbation one I found so far.
That's how I do it. The long stroker. Yep.
All right, so let's move on to a little bit of nerd news. CJ, you got some news for us.
I do. So Amazon, we're in the world of artificial intelligence. As the years progress, artificial intelligence and robotics just advance. I mean, look, there's a fucking Boston Dynamics showing off the parkour fucking robot.
Yeah,
it also does the Running Man now.
Does it do the Running
Man?
Oh,
it does.
All right. Nice.
It's coming through the fucking
window.
It's going
to dab pretty soon.
So, you know, as all this technology progresses, a lot of companies are looking, how can we solve a lot of our bigger issues through artificial intelligence, help, you know, have computer systems make decisions or help us make decisions, rather.
Fire all of our workers.
Right, yep. Right. And
that's the decision that it wants to make.
And the thing
how to
is,
fire them without getting killed.
How to kill all humans.
Yeah.
You want to kill all humans?
Hey, baby. We are living in a really big, I don't want to say it's the tech bubble or whatever the fuck you want to call it, but like the development jobs out there is just blowing up right now. You know, there's a lot of people who are learning how to code at home. So there's a lot of, I'll say, talent out there. And it's a mix of people who went and got CS degrees, but then it's a mix of people who went to boot camps and people who just learned on their own fucking own and just do hobby stuff and whatnot. So there's all of these candidates to jobs for a shit ton of development jobs that are out there, mostly in the finance. Doesn't matter. Anyway, there's a lot of jobs out there. There's a lot of candidates. So how do you solve that issue when you put up a job and you get like 400 applications and you have two staff people to go through those applications and vet these people? How do you find the best one? Artificial intelligence, right? You know, you feed it 10 years worth of resumes that from people that you hired, and then it should theoretically spit out good candidates for you to review. Like maybe you look at the top five and say, these people, we might hire one of these people. Well, it turns out Amazon tried to do this. It also turns out that their AI system started favoring men over women. Started giving the word woman or women's negative scores and throwing out women's resumes. So AI,
so you guys turned into a white racist CEO.
Yep.
Yep. I guess what, so the thing is, they never
called
put
Chad
it,
bot. Yeah,
they never put it into practice. They never actually used it. Or they never used it in a
live setting.
In the fact that, no, they used it in a live setting, but they never actually took any of the results seriously. It was just one of those things like, all right, we have to hire, let's look at the results and just see how they match up to what we actually chose. And what they started realizing is like, it was men. It was just men every single time. And
Men. Men and tights.
In two different ways. So they realized when they were looking through like the output and everything that, again, like women's or like the word woman kept like if you were in the women's chess club in a high school or something, that's a negative score, you know, on your resume or something like that.
Are you sure it was the word woman and not the word chess club?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes. So they made the word woman like a neutral word and they tried to fix it, but it was still, again, like it would be working for a little bit and then all of a sudden like more just like men's resumes would just come forward and all the women's resumes would get thrown out. It turns out it's because of the data that they gave it. And the problem is you can't get good data right now because there's such a wide divide in the tech industry between men and women. Mm-hmm. There just aren't enough women, either aren't enough women being hired or there aren't enough women going into STEM in the first place.
They probably also shouldn't have showed it that article titled Men Rule, Girls Drool.
There was two all women's colleges that kept getting negative scores. They wouldn't tell anybody what those colleges were.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't do that either. You're throwing a college under the bus.
Two colleges. So I have an idea of what one of them might have been.
Yale.
But I'll let it go. But like, it's just, it really goes
there's
to show
women's colleges,
all women's colleges. I mean, it really does show the kind of like discrepancy in the like software development world or even in the tech world. I think Amazon, 40% of their developers are women,
which is pretty good.
It is. They're the best out of the list that I saw between like them and Microsoft and Google. Them
what
at
percentage
like
of their abused workers are women?
Well, these are the developers. They get cushy desk jobs.
Yeah.
So like they threw it out, obviously. And yeah, the thing is like, there's a bunch of companies that like really wanted to utilize this, and it makes sense because you get a ton of resumes and like you could very easily just look at a resume and there's like spelling mistakes and you see that people just didn't care, or didn't put enough information and just throw it the fuck out.
Or they worked for EA.
Yeah. Or they worked for him.
Zing. Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I just think it really goes to show robotics getting there. Artificial intelligence, not so much.
Not so much. You know? But when we input our data into it,
yeah,
it seems to be
I
a
think
problem.
That's yeah. And we've seen that
Gaybot 2000.
But you see that over and over again. There's this huge like there's so many examples now where they there's another person who built an AI and they said, okay, here are words from the internet. We want you to take those words and then compare resumes again. And again, it started throwing out women's resumes. It started looking at the words and picking resumes that had more masculine words. And you actually found that there are resumes written by men
like
that have more
penis
masculine.
And assault rifle. Yeah.
So, I mean, the internet's just a shitty, shitty place.
Surprise.
And the last thing you should do is let artificial intelligence onto the internet.
Also depends on who's coding it, how many people are coding it, depending on their lifestyle.
Yeah.
And
the thing
like
is, though, but if you're looking at like Amazon, who specifically like the thing is, it'd be different if they're like, we use this, we've been using this like that. All right, that's shitty. Like you realize that there's like, you know,
yeah,
something going on here. You still used it. They caught it and tried to fix it. And it still learned how to get around it and
maybe
still discriminate against women.
Yeah.
It's just the data. It's seriously everything
just
comes
all the
down to
the
data.
Code are just like, I hate women. I hate women.
How ironic is it now that the person that was set to save the future from the Terminators was a woman?
I think you're onto something there.
I should make a movie about it. All right. So let's move on. TJ, any news for us?
The Rockstar's co-founder, let me grab the name of this guy. So he put out a statement saying, oh, we've been working day and night for, you know, to work on Red Dead Redemption 2. It's co-founder Dan Houser?
Dan Houser.
He put out a statement. He was talking to Kotaku for an article. And,
there's your first mistake.
Yeah. Talking.
You know,
Kotaku.
That, you know, we're, you know, pushing everyone's limits, try to get this game to be the best it can be.
Everybody come on for Hoogoo Dads.
Everybody to the limits. Everybody to the limits.
And it was a pretty lengthy paragraph that he had talked about, you know, trying to get Red Dead Redemption 2 to the best game it can be. Well, that bit him in the ass, because he said that people were working 100-hour weeks, which I think he was thinking that came across as we're putting as much effort into it to make a great game for you guys. But that turned around and bit him in the ass because of currently the issues of the crunch.
Right.
Especially in this industry.
Yeah. The video game industry.
Video game industry is probably by far one of the worst with the crunch, which if you don't know is come, you know, a few months before a game releases, you're doing 100-200 hour work weeks because you have to get this game out.
So let me ask a question. Was this in reference to single workers working 100-hour work weeks, or was he trying to say that the company was working 100-hour work weeks, meaning that, like, you know, people were still working normal work weeks, but they'd be working essentially around the clock altogether? Like, you know, the developers would come in at 6 a.m. and work until 2, and then quality assurance would start at 2 and be able to test all night.
No, it sounded like from what he was describing that individuals working 100-hour work weeks.
Before we move on, I just would like to correct TJ and let him know, remind him, there are only 168 hours in a week.
Yeah, they worked really hard, CJ.
Yeah.
So 100 to 200 hours
not
a week.
Not 200 hours, but 100 hours.
But you know what? The way
they
that
went
I look
back
at it,
in time yeah. just yep. so they could work more. Work
there's on there's more 168 hours in the week. They're working 100 hours. That means they had 68 hours of sleep that week. Maybe they should stop complaining.
Yeah. Maybe that's a lot of sleep. Yeah, when you think about it,
that's not as much. That's more sleep than I get.
The thing is, like, so you, we all work in software, and we're all very aware of like that crunch
that
time.
Crunch, yep.
Mind you, a smaller company, a smaller product. It's not like we're putting out a huge game with, you know, designers and developers and Q like out the wazoo, mm-hmm. especially these AAA titles and whatnot. But like, it's a very known thing that like when you're down to that crunch, a lot of people tend to work more.
Yeah.
And sometimes you do get those shitty managers where they come in and say like, this needs to get done. You should be working. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there are a lot of people that will say, you know, I've seen people check in shit at like 7 p.m. on a Saturday. And it's like, what are you doing? Go to bed.
I mean, I've worked weekends and, right, and nights too, and stuff like that to get things done. But 100 hours is.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That turns out to be about 14 hour days.
Yeah.
Seven days a week.
That is 2.5 times as long as you're normally working.
Yeah. Which it's insane. And it's well documented that, you know, people just start losing their minds.
Yeah.
At that point. Like, you're not getting better work.
Yeah, you're not doing good output
out of that crunch time.
Yeah. Well, there was also someone who said that during crunch time, she worked for a AAA company. And during crunch time, they would be working crazy hours like that, and management would be really shitty about it. So what she started doing was every week she would bake a cake. And at once a week, all of the employees would take 30 minutes and have cake together. And they had a lot of bonding experiences.
Yeah,
and
she poisoned all those people.
Yeah, that's how the story is. They're all dead.
It's a chocolate cake. That's our chocolate coffee cake.
Yeah.
Chocolate cake.
But she did that, and she got to meet new people that worked in a company that she wouldn't have worked with otherwise, and it helped them on a company level because she would be able to meet and, you know, talk to people in different departments that could help her out then, and it made communication a lot easier. So once management caught wind of this, they told her to immediately stop it.
Wow.
And
not shocking.
Yeah. So, upper management basically
feeding other people cake.
Well, they basically told her that all of the work is being done poorly and everyone is being lazy the rest of the week because she brings in cake and she's risking her job by doing this and she needs to stop immediately. And then she reveals, of course, that company was Rockstar.
Nice.
Ah, yes. This is well known throughout a lot of gaming companies. Naughty Dog, who does Uncharted and what the fuck am I thinking of?
Crash Bandicoot.
No.
They do Crash Bandicoot, Last of Us.
Last of Us, that's what it was. CD Projekt Red, The Witcher.
Yeah.
They're also known for 100-hour work weeks.
Like, I'm sure this any of the AAAs.
Any of the AAAs.
I mean, Nintendo
well
is with it too, but usually it's the guy designing the game. When Smash is coming around, Masahiro Sakurai is working himself to illness. And Miyamoto does
levels.
The same thing.
Yeah, that is a very Japanese thing, you know?
Yeah, they have a problem with that.
But there's
but
also
it's a different
Their problem is that they're workaholics. They're putting a lot of love and care and responsibility.
But there's
to
also
it.
The difference in the leaders working that much and the leaders not working that much, but forcing their employees
that's
to work
a very
that
American
much.
Thing.
That's the very American thing to do.
This is America.
Yep.
Meanwhile, we have all these. I mean, there was just a new study that just came out where I think it was Australia, where they were testing 4-day work weeks.
Yeah.
And they realized, was it Australia?
It might have been Australia, but
I
they do that in
Australia.
Several different countries. They have 4-day work
many,
weeks and productivity goes through the roof.
Yeah. And they realized, oh shit, when we give our employees good breaks and rest, they get work done. It's not like they come in the morning like, shit, I don't want to be here another day. I'm going to spend an hour on Facebook in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, it's lunchtime. I just got back from lunch. Well, I'm full. I'm going to digest. Let me go on like, if you give people a chance to break and stuff, you'll get better.
You get
better results out of it. And, that's why I think look at all these newer, again, going back to all these new development or new software companies, they're all about work-life balance and working from home and taking work when you need to work. When are you the best at you working? Because there's some people who can wake up at 5 a.m. and just churn out code, and there's some people that stay up till midnight and churn out code. Like, those two people should not be on 9-to-5s, you know?
Yeah. It should be, if you're putting out work, quality work, it shouldn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, as long as it's done by this date,
This is
how, look,
I'm giving you this money. This is your money for to work for me. Just get your work done by this time.
Yeah.
That's all I care about.
In 2 weeks when Red Dead does come out, this will all be forgotten about.
Yeah, it is.
Rockstar is going to get a pass for it because the game's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. It's going to, you know, get 10 out of 10 from every single publisher or from every single review site. And from what I hear, it revolutionizes the way that open world games are played. We'll see. I've heard that before.
Yeah.
But
it's those sweet, sweet horse graphics.
Yeah, it is. Those horse testicles.
But suck up in the winter.
We talked about this today, where Rockstar gets a pass for a lot of shitty things that it does mm-hmm. because their games are so good.
Yeah.
I got a pass once for my wife.
What'd you use it on?
Nothing good.
Where companies like EA will get destroyed for something like this.
Right.
Because
maybe Red Dead Rockstar, you should make a Star Wars game. And fuck it up.
Well, that's literally the difference is game quality.
Yes. Right.
Rockstar will take 5 years to make one game while EA will put out multiple games in that same year.
But also, I think
they're all shitty.
Everything that happened with Battlefront 2, I think if that was Battlefront 1 and all that information, it would not have been nearly as bad.
I fully agree.
Because of how badly people wanted a new Battlefront game.
I think that's what it was, is they kind of fucked up with Battlefront 1
right.
by just not including a single player at all.
Right.
And so they had a chance to make up for it with Battlefront 2 and they just made it worse. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, with DICE, they did Titanfall 1. Mm-hmm. That was one of the first multiplayer games that didn't have a single player.
Right.
Yeah. And people weren't happy about that.
Right.
But that's the whole start of that
game.
People don't
like
single players anymore.
But the problem was that game was amazing multiplayer. And then they came out with a second one and they put a story in it and the story was amazing and the multiplayer was amazing. Yeah. So, like, there was no
they did
fight.
It right then.
Yeah.
And it's funny, though, because I mean, like, my wife, who barely plays video games, when Titanfall came out, she's like, I'm so interested in this game.
Because it's
got
really
the demo for it. She goes, wait, there's no single player? Because she's not a multi, you know, she doesn't play like online multiplayer games. She's like, well, fuck.
Yeah. That was one of the games where I was like, when it came out, I was like, what the fuck?
And
I'm not
going
to buy this.
I bought a game. It's still to this day the worst purchase I've ever made on a video game. For Xbox 360, it's called Shadowrun, and it was a reboot of Shadowrun way back on like the Genesis or something. That was totally different. It was a first-person shooter, a third-person shooter or something.
It's also based off like a D&D type of
it is.
Stuff.
Yep. And there was no single player at all. The only thing you could do was play the same four maps in online multiplayer, and it's one of the worst games I have ever played. It was marginally fun for like a couple hours and then you're just like, there's no progression system.
Yeah.
There's no differentiating. There's like a couple different game, but there's probably like a deathmatch, a capture the flag, and like one King of the Hill probably.
Yeah.
And all the weapons are the same, all the characters, everything sucked.
Yeah.
And that's the worst game I've ever purchaced.
Nice.
It's Shadowrun. Mine's Force Unleashed 2.
I never purchased that. I guarantee you
fucking lucky bitch.
No, there's definitely at least some fun to be had out of that game.
The challenge wasn't purchasing it. The challenge was purchasing it and then trying to return it.
Oh yeah, I couldn't
fucking throw that thing at someone.
Yeah, I couldn't return Shadowrun.
Fuck. But it's Rockstar needs to get their shit together.
The whole video game industry. The whole video game industry and big tech, really, mm-hmm. like Google, Amazon, Microsoft. Microsoft, not as bad as the other two, but really, like, the whole tech industry
really
needs to...
They got the manpower,
really
though. That's the thing.
Yeah. All right, so we've got a little bit of time left. We're a little bit over time here, so let's just end the show.
I told you, challenge accepted.
Yeah, I know. We're going to knock two things off of our list today, unfortunately.
Yeah,
we'll just talk about them next week. I would assume.
Yeah, I'll come
they'll still off. Exist. So I want to mention that Adobe has now introduced a new software for your phone. It's available on iOS right now, and it's coming for Android soon, called Adobe Premiere Rush CC, which is Creative Cloud.
Yeah.
So for anyone who does any sort of video editing on Windows, you're probably using Premiere Pro right now. And now there is a $9.99 a month version for your phone that allows you to basically do all of the things that you would do in Premiere on your phone. So you can do all of your video editing. One of the things that it comes with, which is really awesome, is an automatic auto duck feature. So when you have music running in the background, as soon as you start your voiceover, it's automatically going to auto duck that music down to match or to go below the voices. And there's a lot of things that it's doing, and it's really geared towards making, editing, and posting quick videos to social media, YouTube, wherever, Vimeo, probably wherever else.
This is like made for bloggers.
It is. Exactly. So previously you'd have to record shit on your phone, upload it to your computer, which is what I do. You record it on your phone, you put it on your computer, you do all your editing, you export it, and then you upload it. Now they're giving you the ability to really do all of that stuff on your phone and just upload it straight from there. But they're also integrating it with the whole idea behind Adobe Creative Cloud. And they just actually yesterday or this morning, I think it was yesterday, updated to the 2019 version of Creative Cloud.
Yeah.
And all of this stuff is bridging so that all of your Adobe works kind of work together.
Yep.
So when you have things that you're doing in After Effects, you can bring them through easily to Premiere. You can get things from Adobe Stock, stock images and stock videos. You can utilize stuff that you're doing in Facebook and bring it into Illustrator, vice versa, bring it into Premiere so that there's a lot less of a create, export, import mentality behind it, and just kind of one fluid workspace where you can do all of the things that you need. And that includes, you know, really the four or five main ones that you'd probably be working with are Illustrator, Photoshop, Audition, Premiere, and After Effects. Those would be the five main things that you'll probably be collaborating with. But just the idea that, you know, it's been called the Creative Suite for 20 fucking years, but now it's finally like an actual Creative Suite where you have the ability to really do all these things seamlessly and kind of and bring that through. And now that you have the ability to do that on your phone, I think it's really fucking cool.
Yeah,
because importing, exporting, there's always a problem.
Yeah.
Even if you're going from these very similar applications by the same person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's still a nightmare and a half.
Yeah, and I've even had issues where, like, I've recorded a video on my phone, and then I've edited it in the iMovie app, but then tried to upload it to YouTube, and it didn't work. So now I've got to, like, export it into an email and email it myself, because it's like, where the fuck am I going to put this video? Because I don't have enough space on the fucking iPhone clouds. It's just a nightmare. Yeah. But
the one thing that I will say, and I don't know if either the Creative Cloud of 2018 or 2019 has fixed it, I doubt they have, but something that's a problem is constant or variable bitrate videos.
Yeah.
And this has been a problem in Adobe for a long time, and they don't fix it. But if you take a video that you've recorded off your computer or that you've recorded off your phone and import it into Premiere, it's in a variable bitrate. And what that will eventually do is the audio will start lagging behind the video.
Yep.
So if you have an interview or something like that, you're doing face-to-face conversations, or even if you're doing a Let's Play, the audio just gradually becomes more and more out of sync with, you know, by minute 10, it's probably a full second out of sync. Yeah. And it's horrible. So you have to bring it into an external program. I use Handbrake and convert it to a constant bitrate and export that prior to importing it.
Constant bitrate?
Constant.
You said constant.
Constant bitrate.
I think you just heard what you wanted.
Yeah,
to hear.
I think so. Yeah. And that's just a pain in the ass because it's just double exporting your videos. And like now I have a video file, a fixed video file.
Right.
Then a video file that goes into Premiere and then, you know, a final project. And it's just like, wow, now my 4 terabyte hard drive is filled up with dumb garbage.
Yeah. And
I don't know if they fixed that, but I fucking hope they did. That's just a side note about I don't like about Premiere.
Any recording, it seems like that's an issue. Like Elgato has the same issue after a while, you know, with Shadowplay. It'll lag behind the audio eventually.
Yeah.
Just
Which is why I do things. A lot of people, what they'll do is they will record something through the Elgato software and then record their audio separately. I do everything in OBS and export it as one video and then run it through a place like Handbrake where I don't have to match up and sync up the audio, like speaking portion with like the game audio, but that does come some limitations where you have to make sure that the audio is balanced prior to recording,
right?
Or else you're fucked.
Yeah,
run into that plenty of times because that's just life. But
that's the life of the recorder.
It really is. How many times have we had to mess with shit? You know, we had like 7 or 8 episodes in a row where your gain was up so high that your microphone cut off, and it just sounded like you were just getting picked up from our microphones.
Yeah.
Audio recording sucks sometimes.
Yeah. I mean,
on
everything.
This audio podcast.
Yeah. Yep.
Audio and video is just, and then they don't play well with each other.
Exactly.
But I will say, I really like what Adobe's doing. I like where they're going. I like the Creative Suite now, or the Creative Cloud. and how everything is in one place, and you just log in, you install what you want to install, yep. and everything like that. And I've seen a couple of people who have like pushed against it. A lot of those people tend to be in the photography industry, and those are people who like really like to have control over their product that they use to work every day. And they don't like the fact that Adobe is just like, it's time for an update. And, you know, then they get the update.
Yeah.
But then again, it's the difference between paying monthly and just outright purchasing. You know?
Yeah. I don't like their payment plans.
And that's the thing I was going to get to and say, I like everything they're doing, but they really need to rework their whole pricing,
yep.
you know, because it's either the Photoshop pack or the photographer's package.
Photography pack, which is Photoshop, just Lightroom, and Lightroom, something. And that, yeah. that might be those two.
And that's it. And that's, I think, $10 a month.
20 a month.
No, the Photoshop one is not 20. That much. No, the single app is 20. The Photoshop is either 10 or 15. The single app is $20. So if, I just want Illustrator, I pay $20 a month. Or you can go for the full fucking package and get everything, and then it's like
52.99 a month.
Yeah.
Which I mean, if equals out to be $600 yeah. a year.
Which yeah. is...
If you're starting business,
not much not more. Bad. The thing is, which is not much more than buying one of those programs back in the day.
Yeah.
You got to think.
Photoshop was $600.
Yeah, Photoshop was fucking
Photoshop
expensive.
Was ridiculous.
The whole suite yeah. was, I think, around like $2,500 yeah. or something like that.
But I really
which is just the yeah. thing to me that I'm like, that's really fucked yeah. up. Like, yeah. how can you justify charging $2,500?
Because they can.
Because they
yeah.
can.
Yeah.
Because it was yeah. a lot of businesses using that software. It wasn't a right. lot of the customer.
But I mean, it's the same thing. Yeah. Microsoft Office charges $300 or $400, $500 for the pro version of that, so you can get Outlook.
Yeah. But the thing the thing about that, though, is that
Outlook.
Back then, everyone kept saying, like, oh, it's businesses. It's okay because it'll just be a business expense, or like, you know, a bunch of people at the company are going to mm-hmm. use it. It'll be fine. But then, like, freelancers got fucked because yep. it's yeah. like, I'm a freelance photographer. I can't get ahead in my field because I don't have enough money to buy Photoshop, you know? And that's how
and this was kind of yeah. their answer to that. Yeah, is, well, now you can pay monthly. And it's like, this is still too expensive.
Yeah, it's yeah. still
$50 a month is a lot yeah. of money.
And it's for everything. I feel like for them, it's like $50 a month is not a lot when you're getting Photoshop and Illustrator yeah. and just like everything.
Well, it's the
know?
Mindset of, we remember when these things were really yeah. expensive.
Right.
But it's a matter of, here's two products, here's one product, or here's fucking everything.
Yeah, here's
it's
20
like,
products.
It's like, give me a photographer's bundle. Give me a video editor's bundle.
Yeah.
Give
a bloggers yeah, bundle.
Give me the bundle. Web developer's that I just bundle. Said. Yeah. Illustrator, Photoshop, Audition, Premiere, and After Effects. Those are the five main things that you're going to use. That should be like the vlogger, the YouTube
yeah.
bundle.
Yeah, they need to look at their communities.
Right.
And that
should be $30 a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's just because they still have that old mindset. This is still so new to them that they're just like, they'll yeah. pay it monthly. They don't.
Yeah.
They see that it's not $400, $500, $600 a pop for each.
Yeah. Yeah.
Software.
And the
so.
Thing is, and what I will say is, like, it is kind of shitty for us to sit here and say like $50 a month is expensive, because it is. It is expensive to normal people, but these products are so fucking powerful. They yeah. really are. Yeah. Photoshop has just been perfected and made better and better and better over the past, what, 20 something years mm-hmm. that it's been on computers. Like, there's been a lot of time and care and put into these, and I understand that, but like, the model still doesn't work.
Right, because there's no reason that somebody else can't make a program as powerful as Photoshop and sell it for $65.
Yeah, and they are out there. It's just, they look terrible.
Well, that's the thing.
But it's because we know Photoshop
exists.
Right,
why don't you just make those better? Yeah. How about that?
Because it's just, there's a gold standard, which is Photoshop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone uses it. You have a Mac, you have a PC, you yep. got yep. whatever. You're going to use Photoshop.
Exactly.
Edit.
I got to tell Linux? You, I love Photoshop.
Maybe.
But
now they're using GIMP.
I don't think, yeah, they're using GIMP.
I'll give you a GIMP.
I don't know if I'm going to, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to bite the bullet on Premiere Rush, because I'm already spending money on the Creative Cloud as it is. I don't want to spend more money.
You get it for free.
Why do I get it for free?
If you pay for the Creative Cloud single app or full package, uh-huh. you get it included.
Cool, then I'm going to do it.
I'll give
I didn't
full package.
I didn't think you did, so that's really nice.
It says right here at the bottom somewhere in this thing.
Oh, it's not available
optional
for Android right
with
now.
With select Creative Cloud membership.
Good. Plans. Well, I have the full suite because...
Yeah, then you should have everything inside of it. Just log in with your Creative Cloud account.
That's awesome. Then I'm going to do that because it's going to make my life a little bit easier.
But not the Photoshop one.
Right.
Not included in that.
Nope.
Naturally. So I don't get it.
Yep. Anyway, that is all for
Photoshop.
Us this week.
Get fucked.
Yeah.
We're trying to...
That's all for us this week. Don't forget to check us out on genfailcast.com, where you can find all of our social media and blog posts. Like and subscribe to us and Lesson Zero Gaming on Twitch and YouTube. And please support and share our podcast and YouTube channel so we can continue to bring you content just like this. And check out warbyparker.com to see their new fall line of glasses you can try on at home.
I'm wearing a pair right now.
Everybody say bye.
Bye.
Bye.